Hello and welcome to the Lovosho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Thanks for tuning in and being here. Today our guest is Punya. Punya met Osho in 1974 and spent many years living with Osho in India and Oregon. Punya was involved in a number of meditation centers in Italy, Switzerland and Scotland, and Punya is the founder of Osho News, a very successful online magazine. I'm so happy to have Punya on the show and I hope you enjoy it. Punya, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good.
Okay, great. So to start, Punya, tell us a bit about your story before meeting Osho.
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day, and I feel it's really a miraculous story. Because if you imagine Milan, 1973, there were three sannyasins in Milan, and Milan is big, like even in those days, it was like 1 million people. And I meet by chance one of these sannyasins, and I see all wearing orange long hair and this mala, and I hold the mala, and I look at it. There is this man on it, and I see that the mala has two sides, the front and the back. And then I thought, you know, he's looking out, but he's also looking inside. So he said, yes, this man is from, he's my guru, he lives in India. And then I thought, you know, in those days, a plane ticket to India would have been like a month's salary. So I thought, oh, I will never be able to go there. So I totally forgot that. And then life just brought things their way. In the end, I had free ticket to go to Bombay, from Milan to Bombay. I had 2 weeks of holidays in the middle of winter in Milan, in Italy, you know, very unusual. I had some extra money because I had changed contract. And so there, on the last day before I left, this somebody gave me the address of Osho. And so I toured India, and then I saw on the last day, I go and have a look at this guru. And then I missed the lecture because I was late. But the next day I went to do dynamic on the beach, on Chopati Beach. And when I heard that we could scream and shout, I felt like fantastic. For me, you know, being half Italian, I felt, oh, this is fantastic. This is my thing. Yes, I have found it. Even before I had even seen Osho in person, you know. And so that's the rest is history from that on. Sorry. So it's not like I also read in people's that they went to look in India for a guru and this. None of that. I had something in mind that there must be something else than the job or being married or having children, you know, like I knew something else had to be there, but I wasn't really actually searching. But so like life just took me there very elegantly without me doing very much, really. So I was very lucky.
That's very interesting. And just for listeners who might not know the story of Osho and everything, the way you describe it, it seems you went to do the dynamic meditation in Mumbai before Pune Commune was established. Is that right?
Yeah, this was just the winter before he went to Pune. It was January 74. And then in March 74, he went to Pune. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what was happening at the time? So he was in Mumbai and people could go on the beach and just do dynamic meditation?
Yeah, and then in the evening he would have a discourse in his house, in a flat, in an apartment. And then every so often he would make meditation camps. So after this time I did dynamic on the beach, there was like on the 11th, everybody went to Mount Abu and there was a meditation camp there for 10 days. So I went up there also and I did the meditations there.
Oh, wow. I'm so curious to hear about your experience at Mount Abu, because nowadays what is left is very little recording. That was very early days and there are a few videos of Osho conducting the camps there, which are absolutely incredible, and you know, the energy seems to be completely out of this world. So I'd like to hear your experience during those days.
So for me, like everybody, you know, I interview and they tell me their story. They always say, oh, what I read or how the, when I hear Osho, I hear him say things which I have always known, but I've never formulated them in my head and nobody has spoken about them. So for me, it was constantly like this, like, oh, yes, I know everything he's saying. I understand everything he's saying. Exactly. Why nobody's talking about that? So that was like my constant, I felt India for me immediately was like my home. I felt immediately comfortable in India. And then in Mount Abu, I also felt like, yes, even more, this is my home. And so I was in this world of course, experimenting, doing the meditations together with Osho and listening to his discourses. I felt like in a bubble, like in a dream world. I felt so fantastic. It was this feeling that he's saying things I already know, you know. So, of course, the meditations, they were very, you know, he would shout, jump, 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 breathe, breathe, breathe. it's actually quite interesting to remember that the dynamic was a bit different then. Like the jumping was an evening meditation. It's called Tratak. You have to jump up and down and look into Osho's eyes. So the dynamic was still evolving into what it became later. Probably when we were in Pune, that's when it got the form it has today. It's very interesting how he experimented, you know, do this, do that, what works with people, and then he put it together. It's not like one morning he wakes up and says, oh, first stage, this, second stage, just he actually tried it out. The same with Kundalini also. I remember once I got as a meditation during Darshan, because something was happening with me, to tremble, you know, to shake. And then he asked me to shake for every night, half an hour or something like that. And then he said, come back in 2 weeks. And then he would probably see in me, in Darshan, that this trembling was good. And so then I went to Goa for a while, maybe 1-2 months. And when I came back, there was the Kundalini in Buddha Hall. So he gave some meditations to do individually to people, and then he saw how they work.
Well, that's really great to hear, because I'd like to highlight here that nowadays there are so many people, self-proclaimed meditation teachers, and they come up with techniques. And first of all, Osho is an enlightened master, so I personally would never advise anyone to do a meditation. It's not been designed by an enlightened master. But second, even being an enlightened master, it's wonderful to hear how Osho experimented, and he was really using you to see your reaction before compiling the final version of the technique. So that's really wonderful to hear.
Yeah, that's how it was. And then he asked Deuter, you know, Chaitanya Hari, to make the music for it. So I remember that for Kundalini, there was one version and then there was another version. And also there, he said at some point, also Chaitanya, he says in an interview that he said, oh, now I have new recording techniques. Shall I make a new version? And Osho said, no, it works as it is. And like the music now, if you put it on, you immediately fall into the Kundalini vibe, you know, like it already works. So many people have been doing the meditation. And with that music, also I think that it's good to keep the music Osho wanted, not to make new music, even if it sounds more modern also.
I really thank you for this, because I was discussing exactly this with Chetna a few days ago. she had like this understanding that the music that has been created under the instructions of Osho, it's like a dial code. It's like calling that energy for that meditation. And if you change the music, the magic doesn't work anymore. And I totally agree with you. And I hope sannyasins will keep the music as it is, because it's powerful and it works for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Punya, well, that's so interesting to hear. And now, so sounds like you went to India and you never left. You've been with Osho pretty much.
No, because he asked me, first of all, I wouldn't have had the enough money to stay there. So I went back and forth to Europe many times, make money and go back. And then Osho also gave me the task to open meditation center. So I opened a meditation center in Italy. It was called Arihant. And then I went back to Pune. And I remember Osho was very disappointed that I didn't take care of the center.
That was my next point, your experience as a meditation leader in Europe. And also I'd like to understand more why Osho was disappointed that you went back to India. Can you share with us your experience in opening a meditation center and leading Osho meditations?
Sometimes somebody writes to me and they say, why isn't there an Osho meditation center in my town? And then sometimes I just reply, why don't you open your own? You have a living room, you invite some of your friends, maybe Thursday evening, every Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, you have a kundalini. There is no need to have a big budget to do anything, to start anything. And so many centers, they started in somebody's home, like this Arihant center. It was in my home, which I had emptied out. So one room became a meditation room and the other one became the sitting room and my bedroom. And then dynamic, we used to go outside in the woods on a Sunday morning. We would drive there and do dynamic with loud dynamic with a tape recorder. So there are many ways to do things without much money. Later on, I took over Diksha Center in Geneva, and she had started doing the dynamic every morning. So we rented a dojo. Of course, I paid from my own salary because I was working full time. And so we did dynamic every morning, bring the speaker system and the robes and the blindfolds, and people would come. And then after a while, they would go off to Pune. Then I had to find new people. Constantly I had to find new people. So there are many ways to share what we have learned. We don't have to think big from the beginning. That's what I want to say. Even your living room, even when I was living in Glasgow, we had the meditation in my living room. We were 3-4 people, and that was good enough for me at the time.
It's a very good advice for people who want to start and they don't have a center and they don't have money. They can just start with whatever they have. And to pick up on that thing that you said before, that Osho wasn't happy that you went back to India after opening the center in Italy.
He wasn't happy that I hadn't left it in good hands, that I just left. So after that, I learned that, to take care. After Geneva, I was maybe 2-3 years there, when I felt like now I want to go to Pune. That was in 1977, that I passed it on to somebody else. And I made a great effort that it had a continuity. Gayatri at that time, she kept it for another few years, so that was good.
Okay, great. And did Osho guide you in any way? Did Osho give you practical advices on how to run it, or you just say go and open the center?
He said, a few times he said, go and help my people there. And he said that to many, go and help my people there. then one interesting thing was that we did, it was actually Diksha's idea to leave Osho's books. We would carry them in our suitcases from India and then leave them in bookshops. And I know that quite a few people became later sannyasins because they had found one of these books. So, you know, there are many ways to promote Osho, even in little ways.
Absolutely. And I personally came to know Osho because of a book, via book. And it was a sannyasin who was selling Osho books. Somehow, it wasn't even that I looked for it. It kind of came to me because of this guy with a very, very long beard, nearly up to his feet. And I discovered many years later that he was a German sannyasin living in Italy and essentially selling Osho books. And I never had a chance to thank him in person. So if he, by any chance, is listening to this podcast, I'd really want to thank you so much for that. So, Punya, you clearly love Osho, and reading some of your articles and parts of your book, you describe yourself as a disciple of Osho. If you were to summarize in a short answer how being with Osho transformed you inwardly, what would that be?
I can't really imagine, because I have been a sannyasin now for so long. If I remember myself before sannyas, so I took sannyas, I was 30 years old. Now I'm 74. So most of my life I have been a sannyasin. How I remember myself before, I was kind of like a child lost in a road, looking here and there where to go. And now I feel like still lost, but I feel like more enveloped in something, like held. There is no direction where I'm going or what I'm meant to do, but I feel more held. That's the only way I can describe it, really.
The next question is about Osho's and his kind of power over people. Looking at the pictures and videos of Osho with his sannyasin, it's very difficult to deny that it gives a sense of being a cult. You can see that people were so absorbed by Osho that it almost seems as if they were hypnotized. And this came up even more recently after Wild Wild Country. Many people say that he was a magician hypnotizing people. So you were there. What do you say about that? Were you hypnotized or brainwashed by Osho, the sex guru?
In the very beginning, you used the word power in relation to Osho, and I didn't like that, because Osho never exerted any power over anybody, in my feeling. He was always very respectful. If you would go up to him and ask him, is it okay if I go now? And then he would maybe say, yeah, just stay 10 days. But there was never like, now you do this, now you do that. Of course, like, he gave me the center to do, but if I didn't do it, you know, like, I wouldn't get punished or anything. So that I never felt like he has power over people. I never felt that. He was more like seducing, you know, it's different, like seducing us into ourselves. That's all, really. Even tricking us, you know, using our language, our mind, you know, using that word. That's why he got informed about so many things we knew about, so that, like, to pull us into the discourse with our mind. And then suddenly he comes and he says something which brings us back to ourselves. So I never felt there was power over us, never. And that, you know, he's a very charismatic person. So, of course, and this bowing down and all this comes because you're so grateful to him that actually it comes natural to bow down. It's not like you say, now I'm bowing down, or I bow down to you. It's just the body just bows down. because of what we have received, what we have felt, we have sensed, we have smelt. But I never felt he uses power. He even says once, we can look it up, that he says that if he really wanted, he could make us all enlightened. But it would, for him, it would be to interfere. So he never wanted to interfere. So that word power, I would never use in conjunction with Osho.
One of the reasons why I want to interview people like you who are with him is exactly to capture your testimony, because it's very difficult to explain to people who are not in love with Osho, who don't understand Osho, how is it possible that thousands of people were with him, how to explain this phenomenon of what was happening around Osho. And for me, I never been with Osho in the body, but somehow I feel, if you like, from an external point of view, I'm hypnotized because, you know, I'm totally into Osho. So thank you for explaining that.
I want to add something else. What I have seen him do, like we started talking about Mount Abu, where he helped us doing the jumping. You know, he uses these movements of his hands going up, is to lift up our energy. And I don't know why this has to do with power, but I'm just saying what he did for us to lift us. And the same movements we had also in Rajneeshpuram, where during the celebrations he would lift his arms, he would do like this, or when he would leave the car, you see many photos where he has that. And that's all to lift the energy, to make us fly higher, not to stay in the body, in the earth, but to kind of lift us out. And then, of course, the very last years in Pune, before he left his body, there were again these movements of going up, going up. And there is a beautiful moment. Now I'm talking about something which we haven't published yet, but there is one piece where Gayan says how she felt, how heavy, how much effort Osho took to lift that energy, how much work it was. Instead of talking about power, it's more like he's lifting us, because power, you always feel like it's something from above. But this lifting, this is something totally different. And yeah, that's what I wanted to add.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And somehow, even though Osho is no more physically here raising his hands, but for me personally, that's how I feel when I meditate, when I do dynamic meditation or Kundalini or sometimes even Nada Brahma, which is a more passive techniques, but the energy goes up. And I personally think of Osho as a master of energy, because all his meditations are really powerful. Allow me to say it. I feel like the energy is really moving inside. Okay, Punya, so let's now move and talk about Osho News, which, as I mentioned before at the beginning to introduce you, is a very successful online magazine which deals with Osho and many other things. So you are the founder of Osho News. How did Osho News come about?
I can go back very, very early when I was maybe 21. I was working in a magazine in Italy, in Milan. I did everything, you know, the layout, the translations, the advertising. And then afterwards I did many other jobs. But when just maybe a year ago or so, I thought, someday I'm doing this Osho News. Where does it come from? And then I realized that already in my very past, I was always involved with printing, advertising, graphic design, production of in publishing. I was always like involved in that. So in a way that I'm doing Osho News kind of makes sense. And I was also working in public relations as a Twinkie on the ranch, the press office in Pune too. So Yeah, it was it's like a background, but I want to give credit to Vina because maybe 15 years ago I started like I had web design was my hobby. I used to do that on the side, and then afterwards it became a profession, which I did for about 10 years. So I was still coding by hand, you know, and somebody, it was actually Manisha, who was living in Australia at that time, she came to England to do a meditation camp. And then I thought, we have to have a place where we can advertise these things. So Yoga Christopher, he had a page, which in Google, if you look for Osho UK, it would come up first. So I asked him if we could put in there the information. And then he said, yeah, yeah, take all the place. And I make another page where all the meditations in the UK were actually happening. They were maybe not meditation centers with the certificate and everything, but they would do their meditation in their house. So I made a list of all that, and I kept contact with them that they wanted to be on the list and with their phone numbers and everything. And then Vina comes along and she said, oh, maybe I could write some articles. And so there, out of this Osho in UK, it came like a little publication. And so people from Australia or other places, they also wanted to put their things in there. And then we said, no, it has to be limited to the UK. And then I started coming to Corfu, and Vina was going to China. So we felt like UK was a bit too limited. So I felt like, okay, maybe we do something international. And then Vina says, yes, but I cannot help you because I'm now traveling. And so then I said, oh, my God, here I am. Because what I did before, it was only the coding. Vina would send the texts, and I would do the coding, prepare the photographs. And here suddenly I have this Osho news by myself, you know. And I had already started writing articles for the Osho Times, and then I felt, oh, maybe I can do it by myself. And so we had a design for maybe 2-3 articles a month, you know, and it was actually only me at that time. And then after a few months, I was very good friends with Bhagwati already, and she was writing for Viha Connection. And so she said, oh, can I also send you some things? I said, oh, okay. And so now practically we are doing it together. I have one section. It came actually very naturally that she gravitates more towards scientific articles. She does research. She finds articles online. She also has her own writers. She writes her own articles, whilst I do more the interviews. Oh, she also does the jokes, very important. And she researches also Osho's discourses, whilst I do more interviews. So usually it's me on the other side, not you. I'm not the one who is being interviewed, but the other way around. So I do the interviews. And then, of course, art, music, and the obits. In the beginning, I felt like, no, I don't want to have the obits. You know, it's a bit sad business. But then a good friend died. He was a musician. And so I felt, no, I want to give him a tribute. And then before that, Deva Krishna from Ticino and Zurich, he lives. He has the website Otoons. I don't know if you know it. And he had also a section for people who had left their bodies. And I remember Disha had died. And I remember that I wrote a few little words for her, and then he published that. And I felt how good I felt that I could express something which I had never said to her, which was something nice, of course, because we had played music together and she was very graceful. And so then I felt, okay, we do the obits. And of course now, apart from the horoscope, which Bhagwati translates from German, the horoscope and the obits are the ones which are most visited, because the people always want to know who is still there. You know, we are all growing older, so all our good friends, they are dying off, unfortunately.
It's very beautiful that you dedicate this section called Bon Voyage, I think, on your website. And I also wanted to mention that we interviewed Vina in episode 3. Also, Bhagwati is coming up in episode 10. Punya, I think you're doing an amazing job with Osho News, and I'd like to commend you and thank you from the bottom of my heart, because when Chetna started doing Osho activities in London, you really helped us a lot with advertising, and you've been supporting us so much. And then slowly you started to publish my articles on the blog, on the Love Osho blog, and Osho News is giving space to everyone in the world of Osho who is spreading Osho's vision and work. Would you say that that's the purpose of Osho News? Why Osho News?
It's like just creativity coming out. I have no purpose. It's not like my... There is maybe a vision. Sometimes people meet me and say, oh, you are doing Osho News, you know, like this. And I, oh, yeah, it's true. Because I don't feel like there is any ego involved in it. It's just coming out like that. It's not like something I decided, oh, I have to do this because people need me. No, no, it would become too heavy if I was in that attitude. It's more like, you know, it kind of comes together like a painting. You know, a little bit of this. Now we have a bit too much green. Maybe something orange might fit. You know, it comes more like a dance. Of course, I can get very serious with proofreading, that all the words are correct in the right order and all that. I can become very strict like that. But otherwise, the rest is all like, we don't have a plan. So it's very light. In September, it will be 8 years. I've never, rarely done a job for so long. You know, after 2-3 years, I would get bored, you know, but now it's just, and more visitors come, lots from the outside. So maybe I gave you a picture how Osho News works.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you so much. That really gives me, and I believe everyone, a beautiful picture of how Osho News came about and how it works, and it seems like it's your form of art. Let's now move on, and I'd like to take this opportunity to mention that Punya wrote a book called The Edge, in which you recount your story with Osho, and I read some reviews, and they are incredible, and highly recommend everyone to get your book. So is your book available on Amazon, where people can find your book?
It's available on Amazon, and just yesterday I got confirmed that an Indian publisher will publish it in India. And, you know, my book is self-published in America, so the price of the book is too expensive for the Indian market. And so I'm very happy that this Indian publisher will produce it and distribute it in India, which will then have a good price so that everybody can read it there.
Where people can find you and get to know more about you and the book in case they want to contact you? Do you have a website?
Yeah, it has a dedicated website. It's Punya, it's written with a Y, Punya, .eu, like Europe, EU. And on there, for each chapter, I made a slideshow of photographs, so that's also nice to look at, so that when you read the book, for each chapter you have the photos online.
And I'll link your website to the note show of this podcast. So we are heading towards the end of the interview, and I've got final 3 questions for you. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours?
In the morning, my brain and my body are full action, 100%. So it's impossible for me to sit there and meditate because my mind is just going, 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 and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. So first thing, I check the emails on my phone so that I have an idea, okay, I can start then work on that or rather on something else. Or if I need to do the cleaning of the house, it will be first thing in the morning. Where I go deepest in meditation is in when I listen to Osho's discourses. And even more, if I play music before the discourse, that's when my meditation goes the deepest. What I try to do during the day is to be as aware as possible during all activities, like watering the garden. I just am there with the garden. I'm trying to be more meditative while driving, for instance, or cooking. I just like to do that one thing, and then I realize there isn't much mind there.
The second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
So, dynamic was my favorite meditation, but now, you know, you're getting older and all the bones hurt. But often I do the Kundalini because it loosens up and, makes me feel good.
Yeah, Kundalini is amazing because it's very gentle, very easy, yet you can go very deep.
Mm.
So the last question, you live the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in the movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2018?
I have to laugh when you said the word pioneer. You know, like, things just happened to me. You know, it wasn't like that I was so clever to see who this Osho was, or it just happened. Life just took me there, you know. So the word pioneer I wouldn't want to use for myself. Osho is becoming more and more important now in the general public also. Mostly the young people, I feel there is something stirring there. After Wild Wild Country, I know there were many young people. I heard this also from other friends who had been in America during that time. And they say that the young people come to them and say, oh, I want to do these meditations. Or if I was there, and I would have wanted to be in Rajneeshpuram. You know, they feel, I think, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I think that the world is getting ready to absorb Osho. Now you know about this movie, which this Bollywood producer is making. It's a biopic about Osho, which I think that would make Osho even more known to the world. It should come out in 1919, and the director is Lakshen, an Italian from Rimini.
Yes, I know Lakshen. He came to visit us in London.
Uh-huh,
a lovely guy, and really looking forward to his movie. He has been working on this movie for so many years, and I'm so happy
I know.
That finally is materializing.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, Punya, well, that's the end of the show. Thank you so much. You shared so much value and so many interesting facts and insights, and it was lovely to hear from you the story of Osho in the early days in Mount Abu and how he devised the technique. So it's really invaluable for me to capture your testimony. So thank you so much.
Thank you for asking me.
And thank you for all your contribution with Osho News. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. I love your podcast. Postcards. I can't podcast. Say the word. Postcards.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed the show, help us to reach out to more people by rating this podcast and leaving a review on iTunes. We would really appreciate that, and it would help us spread the word even further. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next show.